Narrated Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never left out 4 rak'ahs before Dhuhr and 2 rak'ahs before the Fajr prayer, reported by Bukhari.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma faqihna fi deen wa limna ta'wil. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. Inna shar al-umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu bid'atin dhalalah wa amma ba'd. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to all of you. Very happy to see you, and may Allah bless you and give you lights on your faces on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, and except from your Salah and except from coming to the Isha Salah. And we have, inshallah, the hadith tonight is about the Nawafil before Dhuhr and before Fajr prayer. And so in this hadith here, it talks about the Salat al-Dhuhr, and that the Prophet ﷺ never left 4 rak'ahs, according to this narration by Aisha, before Dhuhr Salah. But in the previous hadith we covered, it was by Ibn Umar, and Ibn Umar said that the Prophet ﷺ prayed 2 rak'ahs before Dhuhr. So the question comes up, how do we reconcile these 2 hadith? Ibn Umar, he says, I saw the Prophet ﷺ pray 2 rak'ahs. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet ﷺ never left 4 rak'ahs before Dhuhr. So how do we reconcile the two?
He prayed 2 at his house and 2 in the masjid.
Ahsant. Ibn Umar was in the masjid. He used to come for the salah in the masjid. Did he see what the Prophet ﷺ did in his home?
No.
He didn't. How about Aisha?
Yes.
Aisha was home, so she saw the Prophet ﷺ. So perhaps, the ulama say, perhaps he prayed 2 rak'ah at home, and then when he went to the masjid, he prayed 2 more rak'ah. So Aisha noticed that, and she narrated the 4, and Ibn Umar, he saw the 2 rak'ahs. There could be another possibility that sometimes he prayed 4, and sometimes he prayed 2, Allah knows best. And then the hadith, it continues, and it says that he never left 2 before the ghadat. Ghadat here is one of the names for Salat al-Subh, or Salat al-Fajr. There's different names for the Fajr Salah in Arabic. Sometimes it's called Subah, the morning prayer. Sometimes it's called the Fajr prayer. And here it's called Salat al-Ghadat. And that's also referring to the Fajr prayer. And here the Prophet ﷺ never left 2 rak'ahs before Fajr prayer, the Subah prayer, even while traveling. Even when traveling, the Sunnah, the scholars say, is to... Do we pray the regular Sunnah prayers while we're traveling? The Prophet ﷺ, in some narrations, they say that he did not do sunnah while traveling. That means the sunnah of Dhuhr, sunnah of Maghrib, after Isha, he never did those. But there's another text that says he prayed the 2 before Fajr, even on a journey. So that shows you that how emphasized the sunnah is of the 2 before Fajr. And even in the text we read of with Bilal, when they woke up after sunrise, the Prophet ﷺ told Bilal to call the adhan, and then he said, let's pray 2 sunnah first before we pray the Fajr prayer. So it's a very, very strong and emphasized sunnah. As for the other sunnahs, for Dhuhr, Asr, Dhuhr, Maghrib and Isha, then it is not from the sunnah to pray sunnah while we're traveling. Some people, they think that that it's encouraged to pray sunnah while traveling. The majority view is that it is not a sunnah. And one of the sahaba, he was asked, why don't we pray sunnah while traveling when we shorten the prayers? He said, if we were going to pray sunnah, why did we shorten? We would have just prayed the 4 as the longer. So Allah gave us the leeway of shortening, and also from the rahmah, from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't do the normal salawat of sunnah, except for Fajr and also the witr prayer while he was traveling, inshaAllah ta'ala. Would you like to read the next hadith? InshaAllah.
وعنها رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على شيء من النوافل أشد تعاهدا منه على ركعتي الفجر متفق عليه. لمسلم ركعة الفجر خير من الدنيا وما فيها.
سبحان الله.
Narrated Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more particular about offering the two optional rakat at dawn than he was about offering any other optional prayers, which is agreed upon. And Muslim has the two rakat at dawn are better than this world and what it contains.
Okay, so these texts here, they provide more emphasis of the reward of praying the two rak'ahs before Fajr. As Imam Muslim said, it's better than the dunya and whatever it contains, subhanAllah. Because the reward of the prayer before Fajr, it's forever in Jannah. Allah will give reward for it in the Akhir. Whereas the dunya and whatever it contains of these worldly things, then these things will perish and they're temporary. So praying those two rak'ahs is very, very noble and blessed. Next one, yes.
وعن أم حبيبة أم المؤمنين رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من صلى 12 ركعة في يوم وليلة بني له بهن بيت في الجنة. رواه مسلم وفي رواية تطوعا. Narrated أم حبيبة رضي الله تعالى عنها, the mother of the believers, she heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever prays 12 voluntary rak'at in a day and night, a house will be built for him in paradise due to them. Reported by Muslim. And in another narration, it is mentioned voluntarily.
No. Okay, so this is a beautiful hadith by Habiba radiallahu anha. And just a side point here, the Shaykh mentions in the previous hadith when the Prophet ﷺ said these two rak'ahs are better than the dunya and whatever is in it. There's in the dunya is also acts of worship, which is beloved to Allah. In the dunya is also fasting and giving sadaqah and these things. But what is intended by whatever is in the dunya is not referring to those ibadat. What is intended by it is the zukhraf of the dunya, the flashy things of the life. Zuyin in the nas, Allah says, beautified for people, حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ. The beauty of the women, the beauty of the children, and the piles up of gold and silver and horses and cattle and lands. These are the beautiful things. So what the Prophet ﷺ is referring to is not the whole dunya, because the dunya is the mazra of the akhirah. We need the dunya to build our akhirah. We use the dunya as our bridge to the akhirah. So if we use the dunya for ibadat, then this is something khair. But what the Prophet ﷺ, when he says the dunya, the word dunya here, what it's referring to is the beautiful attractions, the things that are not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just the beauties of this physical world, inshaAllah ta'ala. And this beautiful hadith by Habiba, may Allah be pleased with her, that whoever guards 12 rak'ahs, then Allah will build for him a palace in Jannah. Not just a little house, but yes.
Is this, you get a house for every day you do them, or if you do them continuously throughout your life, you get a house?
Allahu A'lam, I believe it's if you make it a habit to do that, inshaAllah ta'ala. If a person maintains it, because what does the hadith say? Man hafidha, right? Or man salla. Now, man salla, but and I think other hadith that it refers to, نَحْنُ حَفِظْنَا عَنْ إِبْنْ عُمَرْنَا, that he would do it regularly. And so if somebody makes this a regular habit, inshaAllah ta'ala, that's perhaps what is intended. Because al-amur bi khawatimiha, matters are judged by their ending affair. So somebody could have so many righteous deeds, but la qadr Allah, he leaves those or abandons those deeds in the end. And then he will be judged by his beginning or by his ending? By the ending. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ, he said about a Sahabi, what a beautiful man had he not left Qiyamul Layl. He said this person, he used to pray Qiyamul Layl, but then he abandoned it after some time. So he said, Ni'amar Rajul, what a great man he would have been. He is, if he did not abandon that habit. And this is what the ulama talk about, which is istiqamah. Istiqamah means you do something and you keep it, you maintain it. You follow one good deed with another good deed. And this is what we should always try to do, how we maintain our ibadah to Allah, follow up one good deed with another good deed. The opposite of istiqamah is what? Following a good deed with
a bad deed.
وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Somebody does a good deed and then shaitan overwhelms him and then he does a bad deed. So that's the opposite of istiqamah. So one should be guarding himself that I did a good deed, alhamdulillah, let me do another one. Don't let the shaitan say, oh, you did good, now you take it easy, do something bad, it's okay. This is the opposite of istiqamah. And there's a third, a middle level, which is better than following a good deed with a bad deed. But there's a middle level, which is following a bad deed with a good deed. Following a bad deed with a good deed, inshallah, it will erase it. And that way the shaitan will not take full hold of a person. He got a person to do a sin, but then he does a good deed and he goes back on the right path, inshallah ta'ala. And of course, the worst is following a sin with another sin. May Allah save us from that. Okay, so this hadith, the 12 rak'ahs, let's make sure this is the most comprehensive and perhaps the best reference when it comes to the sunnahs of prayer, inshaAllah ta'ala. The 12 rak'ahs, what are they? How many? Yes.
Should I read it? I forgot it. It says ready
for me. Oh, sure. Fadal.
وَلِلْتِرْمِذِيِّ نَحْنُهُ وَزَادَ أَرْبَعًا قَبْلَ الظُّهْرِ وَرَكْعَتَيْنِ بَعْدَهَا وركعتين بعد المغرب وركعتين بعد العشاء وركعتين قبل صلاة الفجر. الترمذي reported it similarly and added 4 rak'at before Dhuhr and 2 after it and 2 rak'at after Maghrib, 2 after Isha and 2 rak'at before the Fajr.
Okay, is that clear for everybody? let's do it together. Fajr, how many before?
Two.
How many after?
Zero.
None after, right?
No.
Okay. Dhuhr, how many before?
Four
according to strongest, the view that's mentioned here by Habiba. And how many after?
Two.
So how many that we have so far? Eight. How many are left?
Four.
Four more, okay. Asr, how many before?
Zero.
There's no Mu'akkadah. There's no Mu'akkadah before Asr. Maghrib, and how about after Asr?
None.
None after Asr. Maghrib, before?
No.
No. Did he mention two before?
No.
There's no fixed sunnah before Maghrib. There's not an established sunnah. The Prophet says in one time he did pray it to show that if you're waiting for Maghrib, some people might think the hurmah is still there because the sun was setting and it was haram to pray. So in order to show the Sahaba, now the hurmah is over. He did it one time in his life. And the Sahaba, they would do that when waiting for the Prophet ﷺ. But the tahqiq, like the scholars who studied the issue, they said that it is a sunnah for the ma'mum, but not for the imam. Meaning that the people who are waiting for the imam, they can pray before Maghrib. But when the imam comes, he doesn't delay the people to pray his sunnah. He starts right away, inshaAllah ta'ala. So that's not really a fixed sunnah. And after Maghrib, how many do we have? Two rak'ahs, inshaAllah. And before Isha? Nothing fixed, inshallah. And after Isha, inshallah, maybe we can do this in a few minutes. Two rak'ahs, inshallah. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Okay, so these are the 12. Whoever guards them or whoever practices them, inshallah, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah, inshallah. And what we mentioned before, which is a very important point, what is the benefit of praying these nawafil? What is the benefit of that? Two things that are very important. We'll finish with this, inshallah.
If you get lazy, you'll drop the nafil instead of the salah.
You could say that, but usually what the scholars say is that the nafil
it brings you a khushu' before you start.
It makes up for any deficiencies. Because the hadith that we have, authentic hadith, Allah will look at our fara'il on the Day of Judgment. Mm-hmm. The first thing that will be judged for the believer after tawheed, the first thing is Allah will look at his actions. The first thing is the salah. And in the blood. In another hadith, this is the blood. Those are the first two things that will be judged. Somebody killed somebody, that will be one of the first things. And the other first thing is mentioned is the salah. So if his fara'il are complete, then that is sufficient. If there's missing something, he was neglectful, he forgot, he was absent-minded, it wasn't really done properly, then what happens? Allah will say, look to his extra deeds, his nawafil. Did he do anything extra? If his fajr was no good, he was lacking, he was absent-minded, he did a nafil, and Allah will use that nafil to make up for his fajr. And in fact, fuqaha say this applies to all obligations, not only to salah. Even for our fasting, for example, if we just do Ramadan and we never fast the rest of the year, what if some of those days of fasting we did some ghibat, or we did some, maybe we made some mistakes? Then if we do nafl, that will also make up. Same thing for zakah. We just pay the bare minimum, exactly 2.5 0000. We don't want to give one penny more of our zakah. Then on the day of judgment, what if we miscalculated a little bit? Or what if we neglected some wealth that had to pay zakat on it, that was due on it, and we left it out? So then even here the ulama say that the nafl will make up for any shortcomings in the fara'id, inshaAllah ta'ala. And nafl hajj, is there such a thing as nafl hajj?
Yeah, and there's
one. Yes. Nafl hajj and nafl umrah. It is. There's some hadith say follow one hajj with another, one umrah with another, and one Ramadan to the next, they expiate what is in between. So the scholars say this is an evidence that you can do nafl hajj. Although some of the fuqaha today, they say it's probably better not to overcrowd the haram because there's too much. One hajj, inshallah, should be sufficient, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Leave the opportunity for others, inshallah ta'ala. Is that the end of the hadith? Was there any other riwayat?
وللخمسة عنها من حافظ على أربع قبل الظهر وأربع بعدها حرمه الله تعالى على النار. And in the narration of Al-Khamsa, the five, by her, Umm Habiba رضي الله تعالى عنها, whoever prays regularly four rak'at before and four rak'at after the dhuhr prayer, Allah will forbid for him entering the hellfire.
MashaAllah. So this is another two things we learned from this additional narration. She said four after dhuhr. But didn't we just say there's two after dhuhr?
Yeah.
So if we do four, is it still going to be 12?
Two akhira and two ghaima.
Yes. That's what the ulama say, that the four here, it's that it was occasionally the Prophet ﷺ did it. But it's not very strong, very emphasized. And the additional thing that we learn in this narration is that Allah will save him from the fire of Jahannam, save him from the punishment of the hellfire. So there are some other sunnahs throughout the day, but they're not as emphatic. They're not something that, these ones that we heard about, the Prophet ﷺ very rarely left them. Maybe once or twice, just to show they're not obligatory. But there's some other sunnahs, like before Asr, Brother Ibrahim is getting upset. He's like, what about the four, two before Asr, before Maghrib? Those are not emphasized. I'm not saying they're not there, so don't, you know, get upset, inshallah. They are there, but they were done on a less emphatic basis, inshallah ta'ala. One other thing I forgot to mention, there is a view, in case any brothers, they are follow the Hanafi school, they don't get upset at me. The Ahnaf, they say when you're traveling, you still do the sunnahs. Why? Not as a sunnah, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't really do it, but to keep the habit. You know, to keep up the habit, they say it's still something, not, you know, no harm in keeping the habit of doing it. They don't say that, you know, it's obligatory, but they say it's something good to do. So there is another view out there, but the Prophet ﷺ himself, his habit was to not practice those sunnahs when he was traveling. He just did the farad, inshaAllah ta'ala. جزاكم الله خير. Any questions on the nawafil, inshaAllah? Yes, brother.
Yeah. Usually, I see people and I do myself. When you come in the mosque, anytime you come, you pray at least two rak'ah.
Okay, that's a good question. The question is about the two rak'ahs of greeting the masjid. This is called tahiyya. Tahiyya was like when you say hi to somebody, you greet him. So, the masjid, you greet the masjid also, because the masjid is also has a sanctity. It's like a friend that will witness for us on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So when we enter it, we should greet it. That's part of the hurmah, part of the respect for the masjid. But it's not an obligation. And if you're doing another prayer, many people don't know this, if you're going to do another prayer, like you're going to do your sunnah of dhuhr or sunnah of fajr, that, or even fajr itself, if the imam is praying and you have the niyyah that I want this prayer to be also my greeting for the masjid, you will get both rewards. You'll get the reward for the sunnah prayer, like for dhuhr or asr, dhuhr or any other prayer, and you also get the reward for greeting the masjid if you have that niyyah, you have that intention. Kind of like i'tikaf also. If you come to the masjid and you say, I'm coming here to say salam to somebody, but I also want have the niyyah of i'tikaf, you can double up, you can get more multiple rewards, inshallah. But the purpose is not to come in the masjid and talk and chat and forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the house of Allah. So it's good to greet the masjid with those two rak'ahs, inshallah. Inshallah. And some, there's a difference of opinion about whether we do it at the times of karaha, like after fajr and after asr. There's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Many scholars say you can do it because it's not, the Prophet ﷺ intended to prohibit extra nafl, just praying without any purpose. But if it has a purpose, it has what they call sabab, it has something that causes it. Like say that there's a janazah, it has a sabab. Yeah. Say that you have to pray istikhara, you have an important decision. Should I marry the sister? I have to give her the answer right now, otherwise the father's going to find somebody else. I don't have until Maghrib. You can pray istikhara. Don't say, tell them I'm going to wait till after Maghrib, then you miss the opportunity. You can pray istikhara because it has a sabab, according to the strongest view. You can pray the janazah, and you can pray the sunnah of wudu, and you can pray the greeting of the masjid, inshallah. That's the strongest view, inshallah. Some other ulama, they said, don't pray those because it's makruh. But inshallah, the strong, the view that if it has a sabab, it's allowed, it seems to be a strong view, inshallah. Yes, Fadal.
Is there a prayer called Salatul Toga? One of the Sabbath prayers you could do at that time?
Salat al-Toba, as far as I know, I haven't seen any texts about it that say that there was a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to pray two rak'ahs as a toba. But generally speaking, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah says in the Quran, when you do something good, a good action, then it takes away the evil or the sin. So if a person, and Allah also says, وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, seek help with patience and with salah. So when a person, they feel a need for something from Allah, they also call it Salat al-Haja. Some people, they say, I have a need, let me pray two rak'ahs. It's good, salah can bring those things. Salah will bring the tawbah of Allah, the maghfirah of Allah. Salah will bring the haja. Allah will, but whenever we do a qurba to Allah, it's more likely that our du'as will be answered, inshallah. So that is something one can do, inshallah.
Like a Salat al-Vetr, I have a couple of Vetr,
yes.
Also Sahabdin.
Yes.
Those are
prisoners. They're coming up, inshallah. There's a lot of more discourse about it.
Sunrise, yes. Ishraq, I do enjoy in Ishraq.
Yes. Ishraq and Duha and...
And Vetr.
There's one other word, one other name they give it. Ishraq and Duha and... Awabin, I think, what is it? Chasht, they say Chasht, yes. That's the one you hear a lot. There's a four rak'ah, two and two, that the Prophet ﷺ often did, but they use different names depending on, like if you do it right after the sun rose, like about the length of a spear, they call it Ishraq, because that's Ishraq. If you delay it to a little bit before Dhuhr, the Arabs, they wouldn't call that Ishraq, because Ishraq, Ishraqat al-Shams. The sun is rising, it has risen. So if you pray it in the early time, they call it Ishraq. If you pray it later on, they usually call it Duha. Duha, or any time in between. That's usually the general heading, Duha. And then you have, in, I think Urdu they say Chasht. I don't think it's an Arabic term. Chasht is the same prayer. A lot of people get confused. They think each one of these is a different sunnah. Say, I just prayed Ishraq, now I'm going to pray Duha. And after a while, I'm going to pray Chasht. They're actually all the same sunnah, inshallah ta'ala. This is one sunnah. It's two is acceptable, but the best is to pray four. That was the habit of the Prophet.
Talking about 12, is
It's not one of the 12. This is an extra one, inshallah. There is a big virtue for it. There's a big. It's coming, I think, inshallah.
Also, you said the nawful and sunnah is the same thing.
Yes.
Nawful is the
nawful. Okay, the term nafl and sunnah. Nafl in general, it's kind of like a general term that means anything that is done extra. Not the wajib, not the fard. You have fard is what you have to do. Nafl is like extra acts, like fasting. And it's a general term, like Monday, Thursday fasting. They call that nafl. But it's also a sunnah too. So nafl can, some people, they say nafl, they think that it means something other than the sunnah. Like whenever you do an extra, like praying in the middle of the night, or something that the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't do regularly. But generally the term is nafl is anything that's other than the fard. But within the nafl, you have sunnah. And which is the sunnah, that's a specific sunnah. And then you have, you know, nafl mutlaq, which is just fasting any day of the year, just an extra day. Praying anytime, you just feel like praying and you pray. That's also a type of nafl, inshallah ta'ala.
The intention should be nafl or sunnah. We have what intent.
The intention, yes, the intention should be sunnah. The sunnah, if it's a sunnah.
Right. Yeah.
This is a good point. Because if you just intend that this is just a random nafl act, yeah, you won't get that reward,
exactly,
of the sunnah. Because sunnah is a higher level than nafl. Sunnah is like a step above. If you're praying a sunnah, and then you want to change your intention to a nafl, for some reason you want to, you know, you can do that. But if you're praying a nafl and you want to change your intention to make it a sunnah, you can't do that. You can't go upgrade it. You can downgrade it. Can't, yes, you can't upgrade it. And if you want to go from a sunnah to a fard, can you do that?
No.
Can you go from a fard to a sunnah?
No.
Some ulama, they allow that. Like say you stood up to pray and then a jama'ah starts. There's a jama'ah praying the fard and you're praying your own individual prayer of fard. So they say you can change your niyyah that I'm going to make this a sunnah, quickly finish and then join the jama'ah. Some of the ulama, they do allow that, inshallah.
But you can do after the fard, you can do the sunnah.
If you miss a sunnah, this is you know, one of the issues that scholars talk about. But most of the ulama, as far as I know, they say it's okay. The Prophet ﷺ, he did do it. He made up his sunnah. But do we make it up? I believe the strongest view is you can make it up also, because the Prophet ﷺ did make it up.
Yes. We're making up during the kiraha times.
This seems to be something for the Prophet ﷺ, because when he was asked, you know, should we do it also? When he asked, why are you praying? They saw him praying after Asr. And they asked him, he said, those are the two after Dhuhr. A visitation came to me, a delegation. I wasn't able to pray them, so now I'm making them up now. So then they asked him, is this only for you or for the whole Ummah? And he said, it's only for us. Yeah, so I think normally speaking, you don't do it.
The man he's seen praying the rak'ah after Fajr, and the man said, I'm making up my sunnah, and he didn't say anything.
That's correct. Some ulama, there's a big, actually, it's not agreed upon that you can make up the sunnah of Fajr immediately after Fajr. It's not agreed upon. Some ulama, there is a text, they seem to allow it, but to be safe, it's better to wait till after sunrise to make it up. Like Shaykh Ibn Baz, he says this, that if you want to make the sunnah up right away, you came late for morning prayer, you prayed the fard with the imam, now you want to make your sunnah. Some ulama, they allow it, it's okay, but to be on the safe side, you can wait till after sunrise, inshallah ta'ala, be in the night. Jazakallah khair. Jazakumullah khair. Any other questions? Yes, Sheikh.
What do you do to make the clarification? You have the four rakats before Dhuhr and the four rakats after Dhuhr. You pray four of them with one taslim, or do you do two taslim?
Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. This is also coming up in the chat. And the scholars, they make qiyas from the night prayer to the day prayer. The Prophet ﷺ, at night he always prayed two by two. He didn't pray like, you know, four or six, you know, long. He prayed two, then two, then two. This is what's found in the sunnah. And so they say that his day prayers, nafl, were like his night prayers. So it seems to be the strongest view is that we salam out, that's a term some people use, or taslim, after every two rakas, inshallah, for dhuhr. But you know, some ulama they allow to continue it, you know, make it four altogether, inshallah.
Good question. We do four rakas, one taslim.
Yes. That's the view of the Ahnaf. Yeah. The Ahnaf, they say that. Inshallah, there's no haraj. But there is the statement of Aisha, I think. She says that the Prophet's day prayer was 2x2, like his night prayer was 2x2. And I think they say that she said it, or maybe it's qiyas by the ulama that the day prayer was like it as well. But it's coming up, inshallah. Maybe the next couple of hadith it might come up, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. Khair, inshallah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk. Allah knows best. May Allah reward all of you. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.